Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of September 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Recap what Darrell Good had to say about last Friday's USDA report with an update from his FarmDoc Daily website article posted earlier this morning. You can read that whole thing right now if you'd like online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The folks out at the Andersons will be here to take up the cash grain market. We'll also take a look at the weather forecast for your harvest season. That with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday. September contract at $3.79 in the corn pit was 4.5 higher. December up 6.5 at 3.93.5 in the March. At 404.75, up 6.5 cents. May futures 411.75, the settlement price up 6.5. And next year's December corn at 414.25, up 4.5. I better get the July as well. 416 for next summer. That's up 6 cents. Soy complex September beans now 5 cents lower in the nearby contract at $8.82.75. November on out were higher, up a dime in the Noves at $8.84.25. January at $8.87.5 or up 10 cents. The March up a dime at $8.89 and May futures at $8.89.25, 9.5 higher. July up 9.75 at $8.92.75. November of next year at $8.76.25. It's finished also 10 cents higher. Bean meal futures in the September at $3.12.70, down $1.40. That's in the September. October at $3.14.30, up $3.40. Bean oil in the October 28 cents higher at $26.93. The soft red winter wheat in the September at 10.25 cents higher, $4.85.75. July settled $5.18.75 for the new, up 15.5 cents. The hard red winter July harvest month of next year up 14 cents at $5.29.5. Live cattle futures finished the October at $141.45, up 85 cents. October feeders at $194.50, down 60. And lean hogs in the October at $66.82.5, down 50 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Find us anytime you'd like online. The address there is WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Let's take a look at some of the outside markets. At this hour, crude oil futures are trading $44.13 a barrel. They're 51 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $1.52 and a tenth. They're up 3 2/10 of a cent per gallon. Gasoline on the RBOB, that's the wholesale price. October contract at $1.30 and 8 cents. That's down 6 1/10 of a cent per gallon. And the heating oil or diesel fuel is 4 1/10 of a cent lower at $1.50 and 8 cents. Natural gas for the day at $2.75 and 9 cents of a cent. That's up 6 6/10 of a cent per gallon. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average is 77 points lower at 16,357. The U.S. dollar is up 0.061 at 95.255. And gold futures on the day at $1,107.75 or $4.45 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies and 81 degrees. Tonight, clear and 57. Tomorrow, sunny and 81. Tuesday evening, clear and 56. Wednesday, sunny and 84. Wednesday night, clear and 61. Thursday, sunny and 84. Thursday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 67. Friday, that little rainfall might continue, mostly cloudy and 81. It works its way into Friday night, mostly cloudy and 62, and continues on Saturday with a 75-degree high. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 56. And then on Sunday, back to sunny skies and a high of 76. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies there in Chicago.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It is a Monday afternoon. It's the 14th day of September 2015. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Just a quick reminder that tonight I'll be in Mahomet at the Farm Credit Illinois building with one of our Will Ag panels. Amy Sage, along with Gary Schnitke and Jason Clapp, will be there to take up the marketplace. And we should have, I hope, it's possible, though he's in the field at this point, combining soybeans, Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. That starts at 6:30, no meal. Let me repeat that, no meal, because that has happened in the past, but we start at 6:30. We sure do hope you drop by and see us tonight in Mahomet at the Farm Credit Illinois building. This one sponsored, of course, by Farm Credit and the Champaign County Farm Bureau. Now let's turn our attention directly to the marketplace. Kurt Kimmel is with us. He's from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Thanks, Kurt, for being with us this afternoon.
Well, you're welcome. Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's see. So we started the day on a really sound note, although things traded just slightly back in the soybeans rather than being up 12 to 14. I suppose they finished just a dime higher. Why was that the case?
Well, I think you maybe saw a little bit of profit taking and also, to me, just a tad bit, a little bit of hedge pressure. There is some bean activities. You mentioned Matt's hard at it in the field. It's common in a lot of areas. Seems like stuff's maturing fairly quickly here. But to keep the uptrend going, it's kind of nice to pull back a little bit, maybe consolidate tonight and try to hit it again. Commodity funds were prominent players going into late session there. They've estimated to be buyers about 5,000 beans, about 7,000 corn, about 5,500 wheat. So, we had a new test of the lows there last week and broke out kind of the upside here, so we'll see if the momentum can hold together here as we go into Tuesday's trade.
And maybe we probably ought to go back through some of the numbers from last Friday just to make sure everybody's up to speed on them. For corn crop production, now set with a yield at, 167.5 bushels to the acre. Total production at 13.585 billion bushels. That's down, 101 million bushels in total. And yield dropped 1.3 bushels to the acre. Any idea that will continue to drop as we get into the October figures?
We're kind of in that camp. Looking at our back wind, and a lot of producers we work with are looking at yields less than a year ago, and kind of feel we're probably at least two bushels less in corn, another bushel less in beans. We'll see how that materializes over time. We kind of feel it's awful hard for the West to make up what we're losing here in the East. But not only yield, harvested acreage will be another question. I guess we have another FSA acreage update. Traders are still leaning towards maybe 200,000 to 300,000 less corn acres, and maybe a million acres less in the bean side of the equation. So there's still a lot of moving parts to look at. It's not going to be super bullish by all means, because the unknown and the question is demand. Demand's still a question mark. We still have record demand. But can we keep that record demand? We'll have to see. So it's going to create a lot of ups and downs when you look at 450 million bushel bean carry out and 1.59 billion bushel corn out carry out. That still suggests we have ample supplies here domestically. And looking at the world supply demand balance sheet, we still have ample supplies worldwide.
And just as a reminder to producers, USDA now sets the average national cash price, that's for the whole of the marketing year, for those two commodities at $3.75 for corn, $9.15 for soybeans. The wheat national average cash price is $5 even. Will there be opportunities, do you suppose, and how should producers get them set up for corn to go above $4 in cash price?
Yeah, we feel there's some possibilities, and you got to be prepared for it, and I think you got to use those ups to add for sales. In fact, the high end on their corn price was just over $4. Looking at a little bit of carry, not a whole lot of carry in the marketplace. There'll be opportunities to sell cash corn above $4. But I think the main thing is to stay flexible in your marketing and kind of work on a marketing plan that's going to preserve working capital. In order to go sharply higher here, we're going to have some disaster somewhere in the world to get everybody to come in a big buyer. So the key is, you know, to staying flexible and doing what's best for your own situation.
You mentioned the harvested acres, and as I look, and this just surprised me. I was thinking about that number on the summary tables, and I had to pull up the actual WASDE report to make sure I had this right. Harvested acres for corn now at 81.1 million acres. The harvested acres for soybeans in the United States is actually higher than that at 83.5 million acres. So this is going to put real pressure, I think, on the marketplace over time and underscores that carryout that was 450 million bushels strong. Oh, do I have that number right? 450 million bushels strong by the time we get to the end of the year. I suppose it means producers don't have a lot to do with their soybeans other than to move them across the scale.
Well, we like moving them, then do a little bit of replacement in case we get some problems in the southern hemisphere, either this fall or winter, trying to get the crop in, or during your growing season during the winter. But you're correct. A 450-plus million bushel carryout is going to be awful hard to get real super bullish. It suggests that, you know, 925 is kind of the upper end of the trading range for right now, because we just need to make sure we see these sales keep coming. That's been the main fear here all during the summer, is we just have not seen Asia come forward and get those sales on the books, because if they don't get those sales on the books and we don't get these beans shipped here this winter, they'll move their purchase to the southern hemisphere and secure their needs there.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good, Todd. Take care. Thanks.
Now, you too. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to join us tonight if you're not in the field and you get the opportunity at the Farm Credit Illinois building. Starts at 6:30 p.m. with our ag panel. We'll have on hand with us Amy Sage from the Andersons and Jason Clapp from RMC. That's Risk Management Commodities. Matt Bennett may or may not be there, depending on whether the beans get too tough to cut yet this afternoon. We'll check and see on that later. Gary Schnitke will be with us, too. He'll take up ARC and PLC payments from 2014. Look forward to 2015. We'll also talk about cash rents with him. That's all tonight at the Farm Credit Illinois building, open free to everybody. We start at 6:30 in the evening. In today's agricultural news, landowners and farmers may still have one more piece of paper to fill out for the new farm bill, even if they've signed up already. They may still need to enroll in the program to receive payments. The enrollment period for ARC and PLC coverage ends September 30th. This is different than the sign-up for the program held earlier. Without the final enrollment contract signed, University of Illinois Agricultural Policy Specialist Jonathan Kappas says payments won't be made for last year's harvest shortfalls.
When you made the election decision back in the spring, you still had to sign up for the program in order to receive the payment. And so that, I believe that sign-up period is closing shortly. So farmers, if you have not signed up, you need to get into the FSA office right away and get that taken care of.
Payments, if any, for last year's ARC and PLC program will be cleared to go out starting October 1st. The payments, as outlined in the contract language, are subject to sequester cuts. If Congress fails to deliver a budget, payments for the 2014 crop will be reduced by more than 7%. FSA, as you well know, is part of USDA and will make a transition there, where Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Gina McCarthy and USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack are scheduled to address the annual Growth Energy Fly-In tomorrow in Washington, D.C. This year's annual fly-in comes at a time, again, when the EPA is seeking to reduce requirements within the Renewable Fuels Standard. It also comes on the heels of last week's study released by the American Petroleum Institute claiming the RFS will, quote, result in severe economic harm. EPA is expected to issue its final proposal for the RFS in November. Vilsack is scheduled to speak Tuesday morning, with McCarthy addressing members that afternoon. Growth Energy members will have a question and answer session with both. And finally today, pasta sales. Now, they're sliding as the popularity of low-carb diets soars. And this has been leading to a slump, of course, in wheat sales. The fear of expanding waistlines is causing pasta sales to contract in Europe and the United States. This is based on the latest market research. Sales are down 12% in Germany since 2008 and expected 8% in the U.S. Finally, an unimaginable 25% drop since 2009 in, of all places, Italy. National Farmers Union President and former North Dakota wheat grower Roger Johnson.
It's dietary changes. It's more and more concern on the part of the general public about what they eat. And that's been going on for some long while. And some of it is also a trend, you know, it's sort of the Atkins diet. But then there's all these other things that followed on that tended to have either less emphasis on carbs or outright sort of stay away from carbs and more focus on protein.
However, Johnson says farmers will adjust based on market signals from consumers.
Instead of growing durum wheat, we may grow hard red spring wheat. If the demand drops for hard red spring wheat because this diet thing is sort of anti-carbs and spring wheat is predominantly going into things like breads, the demand will likely drop there as well. So you switch to oil seeds, healthy oils or sunflowers, flaxseed or alternatives. Canola oil is another alternative.
The National Pasta Association says the industry has also responded to a demand for gluten-free foods in recent years, offering consumers more options there as well. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The latest USDA estimates on the size of the coming corn harvest may offer some hope for a price rally. These are likely to be short-lived and to come later in the marketing year. There's still a lot of debate about the size of this year's corn crop. However, it remains a big harvest, just one that's getting smaller in size, as Daryl Good notes from the latest USDA reports.
For corn, importantly, USDA did lower their forecast of the size of the upcoming harvest by 100 million bushels, also lowered their projection of stocks of old crop corn that will be on hand at the start of the new marketing year by 40 million bushels. So that's a significant change, 140 million bushels in the expected supply of corn for this year. That was offset a bit by a downward revision in the projection of feed and residual use of corn for the upcoming marketing year. A net effect lowered the projection of year-ending stocks a year from now by 120 million bushels.
The exact figure is 1.592 billion bushels of corn. This is a comfortable but not burdensome supply, thinks the University of Illinois agricultural economist, and this number may get even smaller with the October reports. However, Daryl Good says it appears the lack of international demand for U.S. corn is dampening the domestic price in the Midwest.
We're not seeing the kind of economic growth we would like to see around the world. China is apparently struggling a bit. Currency values don't favor U.S. commodities. And so we're not as in a competitive a position in the world market. And I think that's reflected in a lower price than you might expect, based on the expected level of carryout. It's not burdensome. It's not really a big surplus. But I think what the market is saying is it's going to take a relatively low price to get consumption done this year.
A couple of other notes. Estimates of the average 2015 national corn yield will likely change over the next 2 months. The September yield forecast of 167.5 bushels was 1.3 bushels less than the August forecast. In the 20 years from 1995 through 2014, the September yield forecast was lower than the August forecast 10 times. In those 10 years, the October forecast was lower than the September forecast 4 times. The largest decline in October in those 4 years came in 2010, says Daryl Good, when the yield forecast declined by 6.7 bushels to the acre. With corn supplies for the 2015-16 marketing year less burdensome than projected earlier, Good believes there will likely be opportunities for price rallies over the next several months. As with recent rallies, the magnitude of the rallies may be limited and the duration may be brief. Still, producers in many parts of the Corn Belt should find opportunities to forward price stored corn for late winter, early spring delivery above, says Darrell Good, $4. Before we get to the cash grain segment with the Andersons, I thought I'd bring you this one last story. It comes to you from Michelle Rook at WNAX out of Yankton, South Dakota. She says a little over a year after the railroad crisis hit the northwestern Corn Belt, it looks like service has returned to normal and that railroads should be able to handle the upcoming bumper crop. Mike Steenhook, executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, says the rail companies have stepped up to make investments to alleviate log jams and rail car and locomotive shortages that were prevalent last summer.
Railroads have responded to some of the service challenges that they encountered a couple years ago, and they have invested quite vigorously. And as a result, you know, service this past year has been, you know, much better than it has been in preceding years. So we think the railroads have done what they've needed to do in order to, you know, position themselves to handle the upcoming harvest.
Steenhook says market factors have also helped ease the crisis, with lower grain prices resulting in more grain going into storage. Slower exports due to the global economic climate are also expected to result in less volume being moved by the railroads. Plus, he says the drop in crude oil prices has also lessened demand for rail cars out of the Bakken oil fields in North Dakota.
You know, one of the significant reduction in oil prices over the last over a year now, it's resulted in less being marketed throughout, you know, and transported by railroads. And so it's just another, you know, that is, you know, relaxed and freed up some capacity.
Of course, Steenhook says the main wild card is weather. Both volume of snow and severity of temperatures can significantly curtail railroad performance. Greg Johnson of the Andersons now joins us from right here in Champaign County to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. Greg, I think I want to start with just a simple question, because you have drying capacity there, like many elevators do. Will you have to use them very much this fall, do you suppose? It looks like this crop's going to come in early and fairly dry.
You're right. I think we will have to use it because just the sheer volume, some people start taking corn off in the upper 20s just so that they can get done and don't want to take a chance on the weather. So we will be drying corn, but for the guys that can afford to wait, I think they are going to wait another week and let this corn dry down. With temperatures in the 80s this week, the moisture, instead of being in the upper 20s this week, it may be in the lower 20s next week. And then I think a lot more people get going. And it's a lot easier to dry corn at 20% than it is at 30%.
And we don't have a lot of time, so I take it that you're not going to offer early incentives for early harvest?
We were hoping we would be able to. We're trying to sell early trains, but September trains are only worth about 3 or 4 cents more than October trains. Last year, they were worth 20 to 25 cents more, so we had a little bit of an incentive to do that. This year, there's just not much incentive with all the old crop corn hanging around and some early harvest down south. So, very little chance of half-price drying unless the market really changes dramatically.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
It's Eat a Hoagie Day. It's also National Cream-Filled Donut Day. Hanson Gregory, an American, claimed to have invented the ring-shaped donut in 1847 aboard a lime-trading ship when he was only 16 years old. Gregory was dissatisfied with the greasiness of donuts twisted into various shapes and with the raw center of regular donuts. He claimed to have punched a hole in the center of the dough with the ship's tin pepper box and later taught the technique to his mother. On this day in agricultural history in 1752, the calendar in Britain and the American colonies jumped from September 2nd to September 14th as the Gregorian calendar was officially adopted. correcting an 11-day discrepancy that existed with most of the rest of the world, which had adopted the Gregorian calendar 170 years earlier. In 1849, Ivan Petrovich Pavlov was born. Pavlov's work with dogs actually started as a study of digestion. He performed a series of experiments on dogs to show how digestive secretions are regulated. Pavlov noted that dogs began to salivate if they were able to see, smell, or taste food. Pavlov suspected that digestion must be partially controlled by sensory stimuli, what he called a conditioned reflex. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL comes from
Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Mark Russo joins us. He's a senior weather analyst at Earthrest Technologies in Chicago. Mark, what a beautiful set of days we've had, and looks like it's going to stay that way for a good part of this week. Can you tell me about the weather in my part of the world?
Yeah, well, Todd, yeah, that certainly is the case. Just a beautiful late summer day here as we approach the equinox here. So, yeah, waning days of summer, but all in all here, a favorable pattern for harvest progress, not only across Illinois, but across much of the Midwest. Following some of the rain activity starting out the weekend, we've turned dry, and this week we are going to remain fair and dry with warmer than normal temperatures. In fact, we see very little, if any, rainfall from now through Thursday. As we get into Friday, Saturday, there will be a frontal system that will produce some rains, but it looks more scattered and no widespread heavier rainfall, and overall no sign of any wet patterns evolving over the next 10 days. So just a great stretch of weather that we're in here across Illinois and the Midwest as we go into this back half of September.
I suspect next week farmers across the bulk of the Corn Belt will really begin to move. Will they see any problems in that 6 to 10, 6 to 7 to 14 day period?
At the present time, no. We do not see any type of pattern that would promote just more active conditions. And one of the reasons for that is with this ridging of high pressure that's now again beginning to build across the central and eastern U.S. that looks to be in place the 6 to 10 and on into the 11 to 15 day time frame as well.
Okay. Anything in South America that we should be aware of?
Yeah, a couple of items. From a temperature standpoint, we had some unseasonably cool weather in portions of southern Brazil starting out the weekend. There's some reports of frost. As far as any kind of crop impact, likely pretty limited, especially for winter wheat, which is in the process of going through spring growth. Temperatures, with the exception of a few pockets, did not drop below freezing, and so likely no significant issues there. And then actually in southern Brazil, going into a period of heavy rainfall starting the middle of this week and continuing on into next week. So it could cause some quality concerns for the winter wheat crop in far southern Brazil.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Earthrest Technologies. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. A couple of items. Be sure to visit us tonight. We'll be at the Farm Credit Illinois building. That's in Mahomet, off of Interstate 74 at the Prairie View Road exit. It's really simple and quick and easy to get to. Amy Sage of the Andersons will be there with us, along with Jason Clapp of Risk Management Commodities, and possibly Matt Bennett, unless he's still in the combine combining beans this evening. He's with, of course, Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds. More importantly, Gary Schnitke will be along too, ag economist from the U of I, to take up the ARC County and PLC payments for both 14 and 15. crop insurance, and any other questions you have. It's open and free to everybody. Starts at 6:30 p.m. That's when we'll start the panel discussion. So drop by and see us at the Farm Credit Illinois building this evening. That, of course, right there in Mahomet, Illinois. Again, Interstate 74 at Prairie View Road. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Listen to our programming anytime you'd like online. The address is willag.org. You can check out that calendar there as well. WILLAG.org.